I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's a story from the pages of history, but its themes, the struggle for excellence, the need to balance contemplation with action, are as relevant as the headlines. It's the story of Melvin B. Tolson and the winning debate teams he coached at All Black Wiley College during the Depression years. In a time when segregation stunted the lives and choked the dreams of America's black citizens, Tolson set out to prove that black students could stand with the best and win.
Gentlemen and lady, debate is combat, but your weapons are words.
Debate is blood sport. You must destroy your opponent, not only verbally, but physically.
Now the story is the subject of a new film. It's directed by two-time Oscar winner Denzel Washington, who also stars as Tolson. It opens tomorrow, and we are joined now by Denzel Washington in our New York bureau. Welcome.
Welcome. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, and congratulations. The film's been nominated for Best Picture Award at the Golden Globes next year. You must be, what are you?
I'm very excited. I mean, we've also won awards from the National Board of Review. We won, it's just been, you know, people are responding the way I had hoped and prayed, and it's turning out very well.
I understood it took 10 years to get this project to completion. Why so long? Is it the nature of the material, or is it just that everybody involved is so busy?
Well, you know, sometimes films take that long. I mean, I've been involved with the project for 4 years, and Oprah Winfrey's company bought the rights to the story about 10 years ago. And I don't know what they were doing for 6 years, but, you know, working on the script So, again, it came to me about 4 years ago, and I was developing the material between acting jobs. And about a year ago, we went before the cameras.
You mentioned that Oprah Winfrey, her production company Harpo Films, co-produced the film. Did that factor into your decision to direct the project or get involved?
Actually, no. I mean, it's a good thing, but I didn't do the film because of that. I mean, I just responded to the material. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a really good story. I was moved when I read it. And initially, you know, I had no intention of acting in the picture, but they wouldn't give me the money to direct it if I didn't act in it. You know,
really?
I mean, not me personally, but the budget. It was a different budget if I was in it than if I was not in it. And I felt we needed a certain amount of money, which isn't a lot in movie terms these days, but we needed that budget in order to make the film the way I wanted to make it.
So you really didn't want to be in it?
No, I had no intention of acting in it.
Wow. Well, I want to talk about that a little bit more, but before we do, I did want to ask about the directing. What is it about directing that you enjoy? This is your second film. You directed mm-hmm. Antoine Fisher, mm-hmm. which is very well received, mm-hmm. also acted in it. But what is it about the directing that you're enjoying?
I enjoy collaborating with other people. You know, as an actor, you sort of work on your part, and then you sit in your trailer until they call you, and you do your bit, and you shoot the film for a month or two or five or whatever it is. And then you go home, and the material belongs to the director, and he or she cuts and edits and does what they want with the material. It's a movie is a director's medium. It's his or her canvas. And, you know, I didn't just want to be a color of paint anymore. I wanted to paint my own pictures. And I think it's almost, well, for me, it was just a natural progression over time. I've been very fortunate to work with a lot of great directors. So I hopefully learned something just watching them, and it came a time where I wanted to apply it to my own films.
When you started out in the business, is this what you envisioned for yourself?
Never thought about it. Never thought about movies, actually. I mean, I started off here in New York in the theater, and I thought, you know, I would, you know, do American plays or Shakespeare and make $600 a week on Broadway and maybe do some movies, but I didn't have Hollywood dreams at all.
And what about those dreams now?
Turned out pretty well, I guess. Mm-hmm. Turned out pretty well, but I mean...
But are you the man you'd hope to be? Are you the...
I hope to be.
Yeah.
don't know. I mean, it turned out pretty good. Mm-hmm. I could not, nor did I imagine this kind of success. I mean, I hoped to be was a good actor, and I'm still working on that. I had no intentions or aspirations to direct. I didn't think about it, but it's been a 25-year process. I really started thinking about it about 10 years ago.
How come?
Boredom, you know, curiosity, you know, and again the desire to tell my own stories, to paint my own pictures.
Well, speaking of telling your own stories, when you first read the screenplay, what is it that struck you?
I was just moved. I was like, wow, these four kids. I mean, I play Tolson, and he's the coach, and he makes the speeches and, you know, rah, rah, rah. But it's basically the core of the story is with these four young kids who go on to debate, and in particular about this one young man whose name, unbelievably, is Denzel Whitaker. I can't believe it. And I told him, your name has nothing, is not helping you get this part. But this young
kid. It is kid, kind of freaky, though.
It is freaky because Forrest Whitaker's in it and Denzel Washington's in it, and the kid's name is Denzel Whitaker. No relation to either one of us.
I was going
to
say, his poor mama is getting
his
all kinds
mama.
Of questions.
Yeah,
it's just,
well, it's,
you know,
it's turning out all right for him
true,
right now.
True,
it ain't that bad.
But anyway, so, you were saying.
Yeah, he just delivers a magnificent performance. And as I said, the core of the story is really with him and the other debaters and with him and his family, what happens in his family and him becoming a man.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with two-time Oscar winner Denzel Washington. He is the star and director of The Great Debaters. Did you have a Melvin Tolson in your life when you were coming along and when you were his age?
Different people. I mean, you know, I've talked, you know, I've been working with the Boys and Girls Clubs for years, and I've talked about my mentor there, Billy Thomas, and other guys. When I started acting, I had a mentor by the name of Bob Stone, a couple of them, but in particular Bob Stone, who was an actor and a casting agent, and he's passed away now. But when I was 22 years old, he really believed in me and talked about what he thought was going to happen. And going back to your earlier question, I mean, he had bigger dreams or ideas about what was going to happen in my life and career than I did. But for someone to believe in you, which is, again goes back to the point of the story, for someone to believe in you and to express that to you at an impressionable age really gives you the incentive, the drive, hey, maybe I do have something. And Mel Tolson and Dr. Farmer, who Forrest Whitaker plays, and these other professors, that's what they did. They instilled confidence. They were taskmasters. They were tough educators, you know, but they instilled this level of confidence. I was able to interview some of the actual debaters and Mel Tolson's sons. They all talked about how confident they were. They were not afraid to go up against national champions or any school because these professors had instilled this confidence in them, and they were prepared.
Was there a key? Forgive me, I'm not an actor, so I don't exactly know how you go about getting into a character, but was there something that you honed in on in figuring out how you wanted to play Tolson?
I gave myself a crazy haircut. you never know. You know, sometimes
I thought it was fly. Sorry. I didn't know it was supposed to be crazy.
Like I said, I gave myself a fly haircut.
It was a little
haircut.
70s, but...
Yeah, a little 70s. No, it was 30s. It was retro. By 70s, they were just going back to the 30s. It was a 20s cut.
It was fly. I said it was fly.
Thank you.
There was
I'm not attacking you now.
What is it, the stuff that y'all put in
there? Look at
the
picture now. Look at the picture of me now. Calm down. It really depends upon the role. Sometimes you portraying Reuben Hurricane Carter, I got in the gym a couple of years early. Sometimes it's something you do physical. Sometimes it's something more from the inside out. There's no one way. I don't have any one technique or this is what I do all the time other than I begin to do the research. You start to read about Melvin Tolson. You read about the school. You know, you do. In some ways, I consider myself an investigative reporter.
He wasn't all sweetness and light. One of the things I like about the film is that you point out that he was kind of a benevolent dictator. In fact, I have a clip. I have a clip I want to play. Here it is.
Anybody know who Willie Lynch was? Anybody? Raise your hand. He was a vicious slave owner in the West Indies. The slave masters in the colony of Virginia were having trouble controlling their slaves, so they sent for Mr. Lynch to teach them his methods. Keep the slave physically strong, but psychologically weak and dependent on the slave master. Keep the body, take the mind. I and every other professor on this campus are here to help you to find, take back, and keep your righteous mind.
And see, they cut off the, you know, I've seen this trailer,
yes.
this clip, but they cut off the best part, which is yeah. Keep your righteous mind, because obviously you have lost it.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, the young man tries to challenge Tolson.
Exactly. I was going to say, give the background of the scene, if you would.
Actually, this was a scene that wasn't even in the movie. I sort of worked with the writer and wrote this into the story, because I always have been fascinated by that Willie Lynch letter. And I turned it into sort of a debating lesson, if you will. It was actually, originally written, it was a story about what my father had done and what kind of speaker, talking about Tulsa and what his father had done and what kind of speaker he was. And I just wanted something a little more cutting and edgy. So this provided that.
Well, there are a number of things about this scene that are important. One is that the film provides these history lessons throughout. They are part of the film. But secondly, the character of Henry Lowe, played by Nate Parker, has the temerity to try to get in your business and say, you know, exactly who are you?
Right.
And and he just says, oh, I don't think so. Let's understand who you were talking to here.
Right.
But what struck me about it is that he was kind of a benevolent dictator. If you interview people who knew him, say he didn't brook a lot of dissent. And isn't it's kind of funny, though, that on the one hand, he's teaching these kids how to think for themselves and to stand up for their rights. On the other hand, you know, he didn't want a lot of contradiction. What do you make of that?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, it was a different time. There wasn't time for niceties. You know, 60, 50 years before that, there were no colleges for black students. Every professor understood the importance of education. And In his particular case, I guess it wasn't a democracy; it was a dictatorship. I mean, everyone that I talked to that were students of his loved him.
I'm Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, we'll talk with Ken Tolson, the grandson of Melvin Tolson, the inspiration behind the new film, The Great Debaters. But first, we're going to continue our conversation with the director and lead actor of the film, Denzel Washington. He joins us from our bureau in New York. Here's one detail in the film. Even though they beat the reigning champions, which was USC, not Harvard,
right,
as in the film, the Wiley team was not allowed to call itself the champions because they were not members of the debating league. And the trick of that was that the debating league did not admit blacks until after World War II. When you hear things like that, does it just make you nuts?
No, I'm not surprised. I mean, no. No, it doesn't make me nuts. That's the way it was. And it was worse than that.
Mm-hmm.
That's our history. You know, in this country, that's the fact. It's important for listeners to understand this is a film about how these young people overcame the obstacles. It's not about a film about the obstacles. It's not a film about racism. It's a film about four young adults who, with this coach from this little tiny school in the northeast corner of Texas, were able to believe in themselves, study hard, and win. There's always going to be obstacles in life, and you can get bogged down. There's always something to point a finger at. Racism, this, that, it doesn't matter. There's always an excuse, and I'm not saying racism is an excuse, but what are you going to do about it? This movie's about what they did about it.
That is certainly true, but some people say that films based on historical periods don't always do as well as many of the critics think they should because they make black people angry and they make white people feel guilty. And who wants to go to the movies to feel either angry or guilty? Like, Glory was a fine film, Beloved was a fine film, didn't do as well as the critics thought they should. And I just wondered if you worry about that.
Worry? First of all, that's not true. You just mentioned a couple of films. Mm-hmm. But basically, that's fundamentally not true. I was in a film called Remember the Titans, which is about the same thing. It's the largest grossing sports movie, I think, of all time. So that's not true, number one. It's just simply not true. And it's not making black people angry or white people, whatever you said it was making them.
Guilty.
This is a film that, from what I've been experiencing in the theater, that makes people laugh, cry, and cheer. I think it's a perfect movie to go see on Christmas Day. I don't think it's depressing at all.
Can I ask you, though, when you talk about experiencing things, you've dealt with difficult race issues in several films. You've been whipped. You've witnessed lynchings. You've been assassinated. You've just dealt with a lot of difficult themes throughout your career where you've kind of dug into some of the more painful periods in African-American, in the history of us as a people. Does that take a toll on you?
No, I think it's an education. It's still about people that overcame these things. You know, pick something. It's like when I was up for Malcolm X for the Academy Awards, Al Pacino was up for Son of a Woman. It was his eighth nomination. It was my third nomination. I had already won once. He had never won. So he won for Son of a Woman. People say, well, is it racism that you, you know, you didn't win for Malcolm X and he won for Son of a Woman? I'm like, well, first of all, I voted for him. He was nominated 8 times. So if he didn't win, does he say it's racism that he didn't win? You know, is it racism against Italian Americans? Certain things are a given. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to lay down? Are you going to blame it on that? Or are you going to keep fighting? The common denominator in some of the films you mentioned that I played is not getting whipped. It's how he overcame that. It's not racism in Texas in 1935. It's what these young people did about it. That's the point. You mentioned that I've done films about racism and I haven't done necessarily films about that. I've done films about what people did to, in spite of that. Remember the Titans isn't a film about racial tension in Virginia in 1972. Remember the Titans is a film about how black and white people came together and kicked everybody's behind, no matter what color they were. So it's about how these kids came together. Great Debaters isn't a film about racism in 1935. Great Debaters is a film about how these four young kids and their teacher overcame whatever obstacles were in their way. And the obstacles that were in their way weren't necessarily racism. They got the opportunity to debate the University of Southern California. In our film, we say Harvard because Harvard sounds better. But it's actually the University of Southern California. Yes, the fact of the matter was blacks were not allowed in the forensic society, in the debating society. But USC did give them the opportunity to debate them. They beat USC. The bottom line is they overcame whatever obstacles that were in their way.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with 2-time Oscar winner Denzel Washington. He is the star and director of The Great Debaters.
Here's
one.
And Dad.
Are you a little bit of a benevolent dictator at home? In fact, I hear there's a line in the film that came from you.
Do what you have to do so that you can do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. I've been saying that to my children. I don't know where I got that from, but I know it had something to do with them wanting to go out before they could do homework. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it doesn't work that way in life. You know, yeah, we live in a fast food society. We are educating and teaching our young people, well, you can have what you want when you want it. Well, you can't. You know, when they come of age and they get out in the workplace and they find out it doesn't work like that, we're sending them, you know, not all of us, but sometimes we're sending them the wrong message. So the message my children have always gotten is that you do what you have to do first. Then you can do what you want to do. And you enjoy doing what you want to do, knowing that you have done what you needed to do.
Do you identify with Tolson, though, as a dad, though, which is, look, this is how it is. Love you, but this is how it is.
That's correct. I'll put it to you this way. My oldest son graduated from Morehouse and is a professional football player. My daughter is a sophomore in what could be considered the top school in the country. If they say Harvard, Yale, and Princeton are the top three, she's in one of those. She's doing pretty well. My two youngest children are both B-plus students and well on their way in the direction they want to go. So are there minefields out there for them? Absolutely. You know, life is tough enough. Has it been a perfect smooth ride? Absolutely not. But education is the key and a level of discipline. Are they allowed to run and just do anything they want to do? Heck no. You have to have rules. You have to have parameters.
Is there anybody in particular you're hoping will see this film? And is there anything in particular you're hoping they'll
get
from it?
I hope everybody goes to see it. And what I always say when people say, well, what do you expect people to get from a movie? I always say it depends upon what they bring to it. Mm-hmm. I don't expect them to get – it's not a history lesson. I think it's a very entertaining and in a lot of ways fun and funny film. I think that, as I said, people have been responding to it. It moves some people to tears and to laughter and ultimately to cheer. And you know, that and a little popcorn will get it done.
Speaking of getting it done, I hear that you had your young debaters, the actors who play the young debaters, go down to Texas Southern to go to debate camp.
Right.
How did they do? Now, I'm going to talk to them later. How'd they do? Tell the truth.
One of the things that I did was tracking down some of the original debaters and people from that time. Dr. Freeman, who's been the debate coach at Texas Southern for 50 years, is one of the people that I put on film that will be on the DVD, sort of just getting from the horse's mouth, if you will, the facts about the life at that time and debating at that time. So when meeting and talking with Dr. Freeman, I asked him, could we put together a little mini camp for our debaters so they could they could jump in and learn a bit about what it's like for our actors, I should say, so they can learn what it's like. And he actually had them debate against the Texas Southern freshman and sophomore team. Our actors said they won. I wasn't there, so you can ask them when they come in. They should be the more persuasive. I mean, they are trained actors. I don't know about how their research was compared to the actual debating team, but their persuasive skills, if you were, should be sharper.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask them, and I'll see if I can get a second source to verify whatever it is that they say. So you've had quite a year. I mean, American Gangster, The Great Debaters. What's next for you?
Vacation. Actually, I'll be here next year in New York working with John Travolta and Tony Scott on a reinterpretation of the Taking of Pelham 1-2-3.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, will you come back and talk to us about it?
Absolutely.
Well, one more thing. I was on my high school debate team. You think you could take me?
In debating?
Mm-hmm.
No, absolutely not. I know I can't. But I know some people that could.
Oscar winner Denzel Washington is the director and star of the new film, The Great Debaters. He joined us from our bureau in New York. The Great Debaters opens on Christmas Day tomorrow. You can find links to the film on our website, npr.org/tellmemore. Mr. Washington, thank you so much for speaking with us, and happy holidays to you.
Merry Christmas to you.